This is an MUT Radio podcast.
I believe you have someone, Grace.
Yes, Mvelo, I have Mr. Matondo. Yeah, he's a part of the institution. I believe you teach academic literacy. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
So my question is, in terms of academic literacy, mm-hmm. how do you think the whole workshop, the whole program, mm-hmm. and your part of academic literacy correlates in a sense?
Okay, all right, so in its broadest term, what we do for the unit
yes.
that I'm in is called Academic Language and Literacy Unit.
Yes.
And so from there you can see the link, you know, because the project is about preserving indigenous languages.
Okay.
You know, and then contributing to Wikipedia.
Yes.
So that it is documented. You know, so in most cases, when it comes to language, you know, of learning and teaching, you know, which is mainly English, you know, and there is very little that we know or that we can say when it comes to academic literacy, you know, in indigenous languages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one would need to really look at how do I explain academic literacy
yes.
in an indigenous language, for example, you know. And once you have that, then you can contribute, you know, to Wikipedia so that it is digitalized.
Mm.
So if one wants to understand more about academic literacy and academic language, what it means from your own mother tongue, is Isizulu, for example,
yes.
then you should be able to do so.
Mm.
So what I've learned from the project that is currently ongoing here, you know, is that there is so much information in Wikipedia, but the information is mainly in English. You know, so when you want, because it's like an encyclopedia,
mm-hmm.
So if you want information, mainly it is in English. And there are like 7 million articles in English, you know, and there's about in the range of thousands, maybe I think it's 11,000, you know, of isiZulu articles. So it means you and I and anyone who is interested, because language is your identity.
Yes.
You know, it speaks. So if I divorce you from your language, then I divorce you from your identity, you know, which is why I see the project as very important in establishing or re-establishing the sense of humanhood, you know, as an African, as an indigenous, also as an indigenous people,
yes.
you know, so as to restore, you know, that.
So for a person that specializes in academic language and literacy, how do you feel the importance of the whole program is for your field of work?
In my field, I think, you know, because academic literacy and academic language is designed to enable, you know, at least first entering student, although it should apply across the board, to enable, you know, first entering students to university to access, you know, the mainstream courses, you know, so that they are able to perform well, to become effective participants, you know, within their disciplines, you know. And so if you have the element of saying, well, indigenous language is also important, you know. So in my case, let's say I teach an aspect of academic literacy. In my teaching space, I believe in interactive, you know, kind of working relationship with students. You know, I don't dominate, you know, the talk.
Yes.
I don't do the lecture.
Yes.
You know, I teach, you know. And so if the space is interactive and the almost 100% of the students that I teach, their mother tongue or first language is not English, you know. And so sometimes you struggle with participation, you know, in that space, you know, for people to communicate, you know, to participate, to be interactive. So if there is an element like this project which talks about preserving indigenous languages, then it means we, even within an academic space, you can allow students to express themselves, you know, in their languages, you know, so that at least you allow this element of participation. And of course, we can explain things in different languages. So what I do is to establish who is in my classroom. Where they come from. What it is that they bring with them. You know, so we have someone maybe whose first language is Xhosa, someone is Zulu, someone is Sotho, you know. And so I try by all means, if I'm trying to explain a particular concept, I will explain it in all these different languages. In that way, I'm trying to encourage everyone to see themselves, you know, in what I'm talking about, so that they can participate. So I see the project as having this link, you know, in terms of promoting indigenous languages, and of course, within the academic setting, you know, so there is a link. But of course, there's a lot that still needs to be done when it comes to, you know, improving. Well, others say intellectualizing, others say re-intellectualizing, you know, the indigenous languages, you know, because if you say, for example, intellectualizing them, it means there something to do with intellect was never there before, you know. But if you say re-intellectualize, it means it was there, but maybe it was not in an academic setting. So it means that we need to put it into an academic setting. So it's, there's a lot of thinking.
It's nice that you touched that there are still a lot of things that we have to do to reach that particular set. So my question is, what are the ways that we can, like, baby step take to, like, interventions in preventing, you know, because we can't shy away from the sense that there's this thing called AI that is coming. And from interviews I had yesterday, it is no novelty. AI just grabs information that it takes from the internet and all of that, and it creates this one big information setting. So what interventions can we take as of yet to not shy away from the fact that AI is there? We just have to incorporate our identities into it.
Well, I think one of the, because AI takes, you know, every takes from WhatsApp, takes from Wikipedia, you know, it takes from all these other sources to create this one source. And of course, most of the information that is available there, where AI takes, is in English. That is why when you search for things in English, it is easier to get information.
Yes.
You know, but when you search for things in Zulu, for example, you might get some information, but not others. So now, it means, no matter how small it may seem, that small contribution that you can do in, say, for example, let's say, in the context of this workshop, you know, contributing to Wikipedia. Let's say I am, you know, trying to define what is academic literature in this issue. And I do that. And I put it on Wikipedia, you know. And I think about other concepts that might be difficult for students in my space, you know, and I put them on Wikipedia, you know. So that is me doing something as an individual. But it means that cannot be enough. It means now I need to mobilize, because I'm an academic, right? It means I need to mobilize other academics. Maybe, you know, we were having a conversation with I think Dr. Tamoi, who is here as well, you know, who said we reach an agreement that, you know, we need to have at least quarterly or monthly meeting. So this should not be, you know, the end. You know, it should be a continuous, you know, process, you know, so that the most challenge, I think, is awareness, you know, that people are not aware of what is it that they can do, because maybe the spaces for that are limited, you know, so it means we need to create spaces for people to be aware and how language can be used, you know, in that space and how it can be developed, you know, and you know, awareness that will include both academics and students. You know, so I think we have come to a space now where I cannot be the only one dominating as a lecturer within an academic space. The student voice is so peculiar, you know, in this situation. So I think we need to meet as both students and staff and debate about these issues.
Beautiful. Any last words that you'd like to add?
Yesterday I made an analog, you know, with a particular situation. So I said, there was this one man walking along the beach and came across, you know, those small fish, sardines, you know, so they were out, they were flushed out, you know, of the ocean. And so they were like dying, you know, because they can't breathe. You know, the fish cannot breathe outside the ocean. So this fellow was taking one, putting them, you know, back in the ocean, you know, putting them back. And another fellow was approaching, you know, and asked, but why are you wasting your time and energy? Because, I mean, look, there's millions of fish there. You can't finish them all. Rather do something, you know, that is worthwhile than what you are doing at this point in time. So the fellow responded by picking another sardine, you know, and, you know, threw it back in the ocean. And it started, you know, to get alive.
Yes.
You know? And he said, you see that one, I've made a difference to that one. You know? So it seems the contribution is small, but it can make a huge difference.
Yes.
You know, so I think we need to appreciate what we have and use the resources that we have to build something big.
Yes.
Because we have the resources. And we I think we need to be careful of not working in silos.
Yes.
You know, we are trying to achieve one goal in terms of, for example, how we can improve indigenous languages as languages of learning and teaching. And someone else might be doing the same thing in another department and I'm not aware. You know? So we need to talk about this as a university community and how we can build synergies, you know, so that we work together.
Yes.
Because there's one goal that we want to achieve.
Beautiful. Thank you for your time, Mr. Madondo.
Thank you so much.
They have Mvelo. That was Mr. Madondo, who mainly specializes in academic language and literature.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.